Isaiah 65, you'll look again this morning. Isaiah's prophetic words of our Lord himself about the nation Israel's rebellion. He says in verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Holier than thou is, of course, a reference to their pride. They saw themselves not only better than the Gentiles, but also not in need of the outstretched arms of God himself. Verse 2 again. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. Now, wait a minute. 770 years after this text was written, the Apostle Paul would sit down and write the book of Romans. Turn to Romans 10, would you? Romans chapter 10. And there in Romans chapter 10, Paul decides to quote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, our text today in the book of Isaiah. And if you know the context and application that Paul makes, you will see, beloved, that he's quoting Isaiah as a current promise, as an ongoing admonition. Romans 10, verse 20 says, but Esaias, that's Isaiah, as you know. But Esaias is very bold. By the way, why does Paul say that Isaiah was very bold, very plain, and thus courageous? Well, it's because he knew that Isaiah's message wasn't popular. He knew, in fact, that it was so unpopular that Isaiah would be arrested, imprisoned, sawn in half with a wood saw. Verse 20, but Isaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying means to say against. It means to be defiant against God. Now, folks, again, the context of Paul's application here is that 770 years ago, God stretched forth his hands. And way back then, he did it, what did he say? All the day. All the day. And now, 770 years later, they're still outstretched. And it says in the verse, all day long. You say, but Pastor, Paul also goes on to say that he is done with them as a preacher, evangelist, that he's taking the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the Gentiles. And as the text says, be found of them who sought him not. And that's true. Chapter 10 ends with a disobedient and gainsaying people. But did you notice how chapter 11 begins? Verse 1 of 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Verse 2 says, God hath not cast away his people. In other words, now hear me carefully, all day long in Isaiah's day, all day long for 770 years, and now all day long again, God is stretching forth his hands and his arms, even to a rebellious people. It is an amazing picture. And it presents this morning an even more amazing revelation of who God is, who we are, and why we are here. I don't think you can have a missions emphasis month, a missions month, without at least emphasizing the gospel. Why we're here. Why God is doing this. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, that we sorrow but not as others who have no hope, and as Gloria Thompson is at home for the very first Lord's Day without her husband. We pray you comfort her and strengthen her. We thank you, Father, that everything we are about to preach and teach from your word this morning speaks to the glory that our dear brother is in your presence and the truth of the gospel, that all who know Christ will be there soon. Bless your word, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to look again here in Romans 10, verse 21. Paul reminds his readers of something that God declares concerning his character, his will, his very nature. It says, "But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." And again, folks, the picture here is one that God employs in his word is an amazing one. It's one that's familiar to all people in all ages because you've seen it. God says, "I have stretched forth my hands. I have stretched forth my hands unto you." It is a clear portrayal of reaching out, reaching down. And what's the word in verse 21? Unto. Reaching unto. "I've stretched forth my hands unto." And unto whom? He says, unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Gainsaying, again, people that speak against God. So we know, beloved, that it is God stretching his hands. And when you stretch out your hands, these are your hands. When you stretch forth your hands, your arms are therefore extended. Those arms are extended not to a cute little baby or to a friend or to a brother or to a benefactor. These are the hands of God, and those outstretched arms, they are extended to those who are disobedient and rebellious, to the very one who's extending his arms. And beloved, while that's amazing enough, that's not the only glory of the text here or in Isaiah. Because the real glory is found in those words in verse 21. You see what it says? All day long. Brother Chris and I talked about this glory, the verse, many years ago as a quotation of Isaiah 65:2. In Isaiah, it says, "I have spread out my hands all the day." My grandma used to say, "All the live long day." Jimmy, are you going to keep playing that bugle all the live long day? "I've been working on the railroad all the live long day." In our Romans text, it's one word in the Greek, hemeron, which simply means sunrise to sunset. Sunrise to sunset, God says, "I have stretched forth my hands." It is an amazing, it is a beautiful picture of the God of heaven and at the same time a sober and sad picture of the heart of man. From sunrise to sunset, God is doing this. And from sunrise to sunset, man is doing this. Or this. Imagine for a moment if you and I responded to the outstretched arms of God by doing this. Imagine what that does to the heart of God and to your eternal soul. We don't have to imagine. Three lessons very quickly I want you to notice. The first one is a lesson about God's heart. Look again at verse 21, would you? "But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands." Now folks, again, I want you to remember what the picture, the portrayal of God here is all about. God's hands are stretched forth. This is the picture. We've been doing it all morning. This is the picture. So that, you know what, when we say that it's a lesson of God's heart, the lesson is that it is a heart that is full of mercy. It is a heart that is full of promise and grace and love. You see, this is often all or most all that man ever does when it comes to God's outstretched arms. This or this. And so when God shows us his arms are stretched, what does he say? Sunrise to sunset. Man is doing this sunrise to sunset. God is doing this sunrise to sunset. You may notice the similarity between this and this as Jesus hung on that cross. It is a reminder that God never says in his word, all day long do I raise my fist. God doesn't say that. All day long have I drawn my sword. No, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. He doesn't say his anger is new every morning. God has indignation, yes. God's judgment is sure and it is certain, and we know that. But the picture in this text is patience, love, long-suffering. So that, listen, all day long, he is offering his grace. You know, Matthew chapter 23, now wait a minute, think about it. Matthew chapter 23, you know where that is in the gospel, right? Just before the crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 23, after years of our Lord healing the sick, teaching, ministering, delivering women from oppression. In Matthew 23, after a long season of grace and mercy and service and ministry, yet now facing rejection and unbelief, here and there, Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft I would have gathered thee together as a mother, as a hen doth gather her chicks. It's those same outstretched arms. And he says, but you would not. That's Matthew 23. Yes, beloved. In other words, all the day. All day long, our Lord did this. So that the heart of God, even later when he's hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. He's still doing this. All day long. Mercy, grace, patience, long-suffering, love, more than we could ever imagine. I wonder those who have done this to the Lord and accepted Christ still grasp the glory of that mercy and that grace. 45 years ago, 18 years old, freshman in Bible college, I was out in Chicago with my friend from Oklahoma. Name was Mark. We were visiting apartments in Logan Square, that area near Armitage Avenue. And you know, in the city, you don't go and knock on a door and they open the door. These are big, tall townhouses and so forth. And you go to a buzzer. There's a whole bunch of them at the bottom. And you find the name, or if you're looking for someone, we just buzzed them all. Because you usually got rejected.
Get out of here.
But we buzzed on this one, and sure enough, we said who we were. Jimmy Blaylock, I'm visiting from First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Buzzing me up right away. That's always an exciting sound to hear when you've been rejected all day long. We walked up a few flights of stairs, a little apartment. And there to greet us was this little Russian man. He was a Russian-American fireball. His name was Peter Dynica. We never heard of him. I didn't. But he was full of joy, full of zeal, kindness. And he invited his two teenage young preacher boys in. And before long, we learned that he was the founder of the Slavic Gospel Association, nicknamed Peter Dynamite instead of Dynica because he had so much power. We learned he'd gotten saved in 1920 as we talked under the ministry of Paul Rader, Brother Sam. And as he talked to us, you could tell that we were in the presence of a real man of God. He laid hands on both of us and prayed for us. Gave us some copies of his books, signed copies of his autobiography, Twice Born Russian. And he told amazing stories. His father, three brothers, two sisters, all perished, starved to death in the Russian famine in 1921. At the time of our visit, he was 80 years old, 45 years ago. He was pretty much a walking Bible. And as the visit came to an end, which we didn't want it to, I commented on his joy and his energy and his excitement, his enthusiasm, his victorious spirit. And he said to me, he said, Beliski doki. It means something like my dear brother or something. He said, let me tell you one thing you must never forget. I was 18-year-old preacher boy, so I leaned in. I want to know the one thing. that I must never forget from this old saint of God. He said, if you're saved today, it is because God wanted you to be his child. That's all he said. And I have to tell you, when I first heard it, when Mark and I heard it, we thought about it. What a great theology, we thought. What a great truth, and it is. But that week, as I began to think about that visit and his hands, I could feel the pressure of his hand still in my head. It wasn't just neat. It was beyond comprehension. Mind-blowing. And it still is. All the day, God stretched forth his hands because he wanted to save you. God wanted you. If you're here today and you are saved, nobody wanted you to be saved more than the Father himself. Imagine that. So yes, this reveals the heart of God. The second thing I want you to notice is not only God's heart, but man's heart. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying, a defiant people. In other words, beloved, now don't miss this. If it is true that God has stretched out his hands, sunrise to sunset, it is also true that man has rejected and despised him, sunrise to sunset. In Isaiah, the people told Gentiles to stand back because, quote, I am holier than thou. And God said, no. You're disobedient, and man is far, far less than he thinks he is. Less good and holy and decent and wise, he's less able. That's us. That's mankind. Pastor, I came to church this morning. I came to be not to be insulted. I came this morning to feel good about myself because I'm refined and decent and cultured and successful. And I'm a member of the big bad downtown church for many, many years. Okay, fine. But without Jesus, without Christ, we are a disobedient and gainsaying people. Hopeless and lost. You know, when I was in high school, my classmates who were not saved would often repeat to me the same argument. Well, what about the innocent? And it was interesting because, of course, it was always not just innocent people, but somehow it was innocent people in other countries. Now, I'd lived in other countries, and I never saw these mythical people. And living in another country didn't make me innocent either at all, because there's no innocent people. You see verse 12 of the same text, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Those outstretched arms, he says, are now for everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, the Jews who had the scriptures, the Greeks who had their mythologies, no difference. They're all lost without Christ. We're all lost without Jesus because God has told us in his word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, folks, if the Lord is being doing this all the day, it's because man has been doing this or this all day long. Pastor Blaylock, that is not true. America's a Christian nation. Probably 68% of Americans run into the arms of Jesus. Really? I'm not really sure if 68% of the people listening to me right now have truly run into the arms of Jesus. Notice what Paul says in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, I am holier than thou. In other words, man's real heart is dark. However, notice what he goes on to say. Verse 3, the last line, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And God's people said, amen. You see, beloved, if God has outstretched hands, what's the first thing that you will notice about those hands? They have wounds in them. And we put the wounds there. The hands are pierced so that we can sing, "Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone, gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me." Which is to say, you're not really coming to God until and unless you believe in his Son. And you're coming to God for salvation from sin. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And so Paul says, holier than thou? No. You will never, ever, ever have enough righteousness, goodness, sincerity, ever have enough to stand before a holy God in eternity. You know, those of you who have printers at home, some of the folks were over at my house last night and they know I had a printer problem. But have you noticed printer cartridges, they seem to be getting more and more pricey and less filled with ink? It's gotten to the point, honestly, you put in your new cartridge, the happy green light comes on. You run the test page, and then it says, running low on ink. You know why? Never enough. That's us. Never. There will never. If you're listening wherever you are right now, and you think that because you go to this church, or that church, or this religion, or that religion, or you do the sacraments, or you have a bunch of Sunday school attendance records, or you pray the rosary, or you do anything, you've been baptized. If you think that something's got, it's never enough. All day long, he's still stretching out his hands. When you go about to establish your own righteousness outside of Christ, it will never be enough. The reason why a few moments ago, I said we sorrow but not as others who have no hope, and I mentioned our dear brother Gene, who I know is in heaven, is because I know that he wasn't relying on any works of his own. He had run into the arms of Jesus many years ago. And that brings us to the third thing in the text. Number one is God's heart. Number two is man's heart. Number three, there's a lesson about your heart. You see the two words in verse 21, stretched forth. You know what that tells us? That tells us clearly his arms are not folded. That his arms are not down. The Holy Spirit could have said that and could have used that metaphor. The word stretched means extended. It literally means to reach forth to the fullest extent. And his arm is not shortened that it cannot save. They're not just stretched. The Bible says they're stretched forth. It is a reminder that God's grace, by his great choice and will, is always closer to us and to our very heart than we realize. How close, Pastor? Look at verse 8, would you? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, near thee, even in thy mouth. And here it is. And in thy heart. Your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, guess what? Thou shalt be saved. In other words, listen to me. It's so close. If you're in this room, you don't know Christ as Savior. You're not here today by accident. And if you're listening wherever you are now, it is so close. All you have to do, he says, is almost say it. See verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, wait a minute. See, Pastor, there's all those innocent people who've never heard. You know, I know missionaries use this verse a lot in that context, but that's not what God is emphasizing here. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever continued to read the context and understand what God is really saying? Because it's actually just the opposite of that. Verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out in all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. God says they have heard. You know what Paul is quoting in that text right there? He's quoting Psalm 19, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, all day long, uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." You see, besides the fact that Paul already said in chapter 2 of Romans that the law is written on the heart, it is also true that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, Titus 2:11. So that really sunrise to sunset, the words that are used in the book of Romans is that they are, quote, without excuse. And again, if you're here today and you're listening, you will stand before God without excuse. All day long, God has stretched forth his hands. And that's why he says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say, "Pastor, that's too easy. That's just way too easy." You know, we're not talking about something that's just easy or simple. And there's a difference. If you walk in a room and there's a light switch and it has an on sign, and you just flip the switch on, that's easy, but it's not simple. Behind that light switch are electrical wires, and somewhere out there there's a transformer, and beyond that a substation, and beyond that a power plant, maybe a nuclear plant, coal burning, whatever. And in the midst of all of that is not simplicity. It's not easy to get saved. God sent his only son. But it is easy for you to believe. There is an unseen power that makes that light switch appear easy. These are the outstretched arms of God, is what I'm saying. Sunrise to sunset. That's his heart. What about your heart? And Christian, what about you? Do you still comprehend like Peter Dynica did? Peter Dynamite, up in his 80s, in the last sunset years of his life, all that joy and exuberance and faith and love, still on fire. Do you still comprehend? You know what? I saw a video the other day. The people posting it thought it was cute. I thought it was kind of sad and pathetic. I'm sure you've seen these. These are the videos that they show often where one of our soldiers comes home from deployment. But it's a surprise. And you know, he surprises his wife or his dog or his kids. And I will confess to you that almost always when I see these videos, I want to cry. I mean, they're beautiful. Even when the dog comes bounding down, licks the guy in the mouth 50 times. It's just sad. It's gross, but it's happy sad. But this video was different. Now, the setup and the surprise was great. Had a little camera set up. She put her iPhone, like, leaned up, and then she had one in her hand as well. The soldier dad is in a giant box near their Christmas tree, and it's wrapped in wrapping. And the mom says to the little five-year-old girl, "Come down, Mary, downstairs, run, run, run. You get to open one present early." And she's cute. I mean, she really is. She's coming down, da-da-da-da, and she sees this gigantic, huge box. And now she's really excited. It had to be a refrigerator box or something. And she wrapped it up. And the mom says, "Open it." And the little girl starts tearing it off like Veruca, you know, and Willy Wonka, just ripping the paper. The paper's gone, and the mom says, "Let's lift it up and see what your present is." And they did, and there's Dad in his uniform. And he'd been gone for almost a year. And, of course, when they lift the box, his arms are extended, just like that. And the little girl sees him, and she looks beside him. And then she looks beside him this way. And then she goes around behind him. It's so awkward. And the dad says, "I'm here." And this little girl says, "Daddy," half smiling, "where's my present?" And the mom panics. Well, Daddy is your present. And I'm like, oh, man, this is the biggest epic fail ever. I have a question. Now, I didn't cry over that video. I cringed. Imagine on an infinitely higher level, God does this. And we look past those nail-scarred hands and we say, what do you have for us? Where's my present? Where's the thing that I want from you? Where's the gift? Which brings us to the last point in the text. Number one, God's heart. Number two, man's heart. Number three, your heart. And then number four, very quickly, I want you to notice Paul's heart. In chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 21, to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Can I ask you a question? Why does God use the word day? Why not say, for all of eternity I've stretched forth my hands? Why does Paul even make the statement that I wish that I could be accursed? I could lose my salvation, spend eternity in hell for the people that my heart loves. Because he knew, Paul knew, that there would come a day. The word day reminds us that the night cometh. In other words, a day has an end, and it's a reminder that time is short. And that one day, this opportunity will be gone, and you will have no excuse. But Pastor, all day long, God's been stretching forth his hand. He's been doing it for 2,000 years plus 750 years, and that's true. But Paul knows in his heart that one day it will be the last day. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for those who've responded today, here and wherever they are. Thank you that you have shown us that for century after century after century, to even those who are rebellious, you've outstretched your hands. Because you're a God of love and mercy and grace and long-suffering. And that one day, those hands won't be outstretched in grace, but in judgment. And I pray for all of us, for those in this room that are not saved, we will respond correctly to the Holy Spirit's leading. At this invitation time, in Jesus' name we pray.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.